Jerry Bader Show, 9:36. Another weekend upon us. Talking with a friend last night. And this is rare. It's a friend who really loves what he does professionally. I love what I do professionally, but both, we're really ready for a weekend. Just, we both had extremely busy weeks. Not brush fires per se, but just, and it's funny, and he and I are chatting. He's like, yeah, you know, it's you can almost see Friday from here, and I'm ready for it. And yeah, me too. And we're two people who normally don't talk that way. Just one of those, although the week went ridiculously fast because I was so ridiculously busy, but you don't care. So let's get to something else. This is, I think, a very difficult story. Now, wait a minute. I have a third version of it here. Hey, how could this be? Jason, I just sorted this out just before. All right. I can do it without the version I'm looking for, but this is kind of silly because I just have the version of this story that I'm looking for. Well, this is crazy. I had three versions of this story, and one of them seems to have vanished, which means I will go with the New York Times version. Is it over there? No, it's not over there. This is really bizarre. There it is. They were the staple thing where it had chased. No, it was the staple. It's not my fault. I'm telling you. It was the staple. All right. I had forgotten about this law. There's a law in Wisconsin that I had actually, I'm serious about this. I had forgotten about this, and I think a lot of people did, until the New York Times did a story on it yesterday. It was actually online. Their story was online Wednesday. I believe it was in the print editions of the New York Times yesterday. And as a result, the media in Wisconsin has now gotten all over this. I'm going to share it. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. What I think about it might surprise you. And then I want your reaction. But in recent weeks, disagreeing with the audience is something I have become accustomed to. Well, we'll see. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. We'll see. Maybe the audience disagrees with me, I should say. Maybe they don't. We'll see. Let's start with the New York Times piece, and then I'll go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's piece. And I'm going to just read quite a bit of the Times story, because it is pretty interesting and compelling the way they write it. Eric Eckholm wrote this piece for the New York Times. Jackson, Wisconsin. Alicia Beltran cried with fear and disbelief when county sheriffs surrounded her home on July 18th, took her in handcuffs to a holding cell. She was 14 weeks pregnant and thought she'd done the right thing when, at a prenatal checkup, she described a pill addiction the previous year and said she had ended it on her own, something later verified by a urine test. But now, an apparently skeptical doctor and a social worker accused her of endangering her unborn child because she had refused to accept their order to start an anti-addiction drug. So she said, yes, I did have a pill addiction the year before she got pregnant, but I'm over it now. So she did the right thing. Yeah, I did. I had a prescription drug addiction, but I've beaten it. A urine test would prove she was telling the truth, at least none in her system. Instead, Ms. Beltran, 28, was taken in shackles before a family court commissioner who, she says, brushed aside her pleas for a lawyer. To her astonishment, the court had already appointed a legal guardian for the fetus. I didn't know unborn children had lawyers, recalled Ms. Beltran, now 6 months pregnant, after returning to her home north of Milwaukee. She'd been detained in Appleton. From a court-ordered 78-day stay at a drug treatment center. I said, where's my lawyer? Under a Wisconsin law known as the Cocaine Mom Act, when it was adopted in 1998, child welfare authorities can forcibly confine a pregnant woman who uses illegal drugs or alcohol to a severe degree and who refuses to accept treatment. Now, with Ms. Beltran's detention as Exhibit A, that law is being challenged as unconstitutional in a federal suit filed this month, the first in federal court to challenge this kind of fetal protection law. Its opponents are hoping to set an important precedent in the continuing tug of war over the rights of pregnant women and the legal status of the unborn. And it appears she was only released because the lawsuit was filed. That's what it's looking like. Wisconsin is one of four states, along with Minnesota, Oklahoma, and South Dakota, with laws specifically granting authorities the power to confine pregnant women for substance abuse. But many other states use civil confinement, child protection, or assorted other things at their disposal to get women into treatment programs or punish them for taking drugs. This is what happened when laws give officials the authority to treat fertilized eggs and fetuses as if they were already completely separate from the pregnant woman, says, what's her name? Pelcher, I don't know her first name, executive director of National Advocates for Pregnant Women in New York, of Ms. Beltran's arrest and confinement. Here's the problem. They're going to tie this to abortion. The Wisconsin law, according to the suit filed in U.S. District Court of Milwaukee, deprives women of physical liberty, medical privacy, due process, and other constitutional rights. It is also based on faulty information about the risks to newborns and ultimately does more harm than good, the suit argues, by scaring pregnant women away from prenatal care. Bonnie Ladwig, retired state representative who helped write the law, called it an appropriate effort to prevent harm. It's the same as abuse of a child after it's born, she said. If the mother isn't smart enough not to do drugs, we've got to step in. The law is intended to help both the woman and her baby, said Susan Armacost, legislative director of Wisconsin Right to Life, whose group lobbied hard for the measure. Similar policies have won strong support from anti-abortion groups around the country, in part because they advance the goal of granting independent personhood and rights to the unborn child. The suit is being argued by National Advocates for Pregnant Women, along with the Reproductive Justice Clinic of the New York, so on, so on, so on. Then they go in and talk about some of the other, in some other states, things that have happened. In Wisconsin, because child welfare proceedings are confidential, no one knows how often the 1998 law has been used, but anecdotal evidence suggests it may happen a few times each year at least. Many medical experts say these laws are based on exaggerated perceptions of the risk to unborns and are medically counterproductive. I do not necessarily, in fact, I do not agree with that. I don't agree that there isn't a danger from these drugs to an unborn child. I do not disagree with the law. And I don't think the law necessarily is unconstitutional. I think what happened to this woman is beyond indefensible. And there is no way that the letter or the intent of the law was followed here. And I think, quite frankly, what they have done is jeopardize this law. There's a reason they call it a cocaine mom law, because that's what it was designed for. It was designed to protect unborn babies from women who didn't care enough about that unborn baby to break whatever addiction or whatever drug habit they had. And this is where the other side, which makes everything about abortion, is being disingenuous, to suggest that studies are faulty, that those types of drugs taken in large doses through the course of a pregnancy doesn't harm the baby. That's just a lie. What they're doing is they are taking one case and trying to say that that tarnishes the whole law. And every idiot involved in this process, in the judicial system and in the court system, should be held accountable. If this woman didn't care about the unborn baby, why do you think she even mentioned the addiction? She was being responsible in that, but she was checking to see if she should worry about the baby because she did have that addiction. So because she admitted a past addiction, they take a urine sample. There is no evidence of this prescription drug in her system, how the hell long were they going to hold her until the end? Oh, and yeah, okay, there's more. In fact, let me get back to that in 3 minutes. There's more. I still support the law. This was an incredible travesty of justice. Want your thoughts? 406-1360. 888-455-1360. It's 946.
The Jerry Bader Show.